The scripture this morning is from James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water.
Jesus, you have given us so much. You have made a way for us to come to know you personally, and you have saved us, and so we are so grateful. And Father, this morning we have a reminder from your word of something that we do every day, but something that has great potential to either bring glory to you or not. And so I pray that your spirit reveals something to us that will be applicable to our lives, that you will remind us of how good a God you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you know that the average person, not the overly talkative person or the super shy person, but the average person speaks for one-fifth of their lifetime? One-fifth of their life. In fact, that's so much that you could fill 150 books of 200 pages each. That's quite a bit of talking. Now, the whole point of this stat is not to look at your wife and think about how much she talks, or to think about your husband and think, wow, he is really quiet. But the whole point of this stat is to actually say that we, that is humanity, we are absolutely, constantly, throughout our daily lives, our whole life, we are talking. We are talking. We're talking to people of different cultures, different religions, perhaps, and people of different languages as well. All people who, as we heard from Betty Ann in the scripture reading, are made in the likeness of God, in the image of God. And as time has progressed, society and culture has given us multiple ways to talk, to communicate. Before the internet became not just a reality, but something you could take out of your pocket and access wherever and whenever you were, people actually sent letters to each other. Can you believe it? And as the internet exploded and the World Wide Web became just that true reality for average people. Emails became the norm, and in 2007, not that long ago, maybe it seems like a long time ago, Apple revolutionized the world by sending out that thing called the iPhone, which many of you probably have in your pockets right now. The iPhone, which suddenly you could just put your fingertips to the phone and send emails, send texts. And now cell phones everywhere, regardless of the brand of cell phone or the make of cell phone, can help you speak, send emails and texts, and even help you write those books of over 200 pages each. So we are, that is, humanity as a whole, we are a communicative people. We are constantly communicating, and although we can complain of how society is changing, we can talk about the good old days when we used to send letters or we had to actually meet in person to talk, the reality is that there are numerous ways to communicate now. Not worse, just different. Perhaps worse in how we use them, or perhaps even better in how we use them as well. Now, God, who created life by communicating words, has inspired words to us as well, which we read every day, called the Bible. And he's created beings who communicate all the time, creatively. And we have a lot of opportunity, I think we have a lot of opportunity, to either bless people and praise God, or curse people and curse God. Would you agree with me there? And today, if you're just joining us for the first time in a while, or maybe even for the first time here at Cremona Congregational, we've been going through the book of James. So if you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to open it up, James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, and we'll get into that soon. James 3, 1 to 12. But we've been journeying through this book of James, and we'll be journeying through it until the end of September. Now, the book of James in its entirety is a book in which God, through his word, really challenges you and encourages you. Sometimes it seems like in the same verse, in the exact same verse. So far, we've seen incredible topics like trials, right off the bat in James 1, talking about trials. A little bit later, talking about sin. And in the past couple of weeks, as Sammy Bernard has come in, he's talked about being doers of the word. Not just simply hearing God's word, hearing commands of God, but actually being doers of the word. And today, as you can see from the sermon title, we get to that thing, which maybe you had it washed out with soap when you were younger, the tongue, the mouth. One of the interesting things about this topic, this theme of the tongue, is that for the New Testament, it isn't a new topic. It isn't a new theme. Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Proverbs 21:33, "Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble." Proverbs 15:21, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Psalm 141:3, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." So the Bible in its entirety talks about the dangers and the powers of the tongue. And this text, which we're going to go through today, James 3, 1 to 12, is the longest in the Bible in terms of consecutive verses talking about this theme. So with that in mind, let's enter the text this morning, little by little, as it talks about the tongue and how it relates to the relationships around us, both to God and to the people around us. James 3, 1 to 12 says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check." Let's stop there for a minute or two. So we see here that teachers, mainly because they have incredible potential with the tongue, will not just be judged, but it says judged more strictly. Now, how many of us in this room, think about your life, have been influenced by a teacher, either good or bad in your life? Even a preacher or a Sunday school teacher. Raise your hand if you've been influenced in some way. Absolutely. We should almost all be raising our hand, probably. For some of us, including myself, maybe there is even a sermon that you've heard on the radio, watched on television, or maybe you heard on the internet that shaped the way your character is today, and even your theology, what you believe about God. Teachers in general have a tremendous influence on humanity. And for those of us who have been teachers or are teachers in this room, we must remember the use of our tongue and the potential we have on someone's life. James here also mentions perfection. You see here in James 3, 1 and 2. He mentions perfection. He writes here that it is impossible because we all stumble. But the perfect person keeps their whole body in check. Their whole body in check. Which reminds us, it should remind us, that there is only one person who ever lived on this planet that kept their whole body in check. One who did not stumble and one who was perfect, that is Jesus. Jesus, the one who is and was perfect, was killed by imperfect sinners who, as we will see soon, used their tongue as a means to curse the perfect one. Let's continue on in the passage in James here. It says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. See, James here is using a little bit of humor, it seems like, to think that we as human beings can control horses or even massive ships, but not the tongue. The tongue should make us wonder. Like the small rudder that drives the ship, our tongues, although a very small part of our physical body, have the potential to do much harm, or as James will get after this, much praise as well. James uses these illustrations, talking about the horse, the ship, and the forest, to really get us to pay attention, to help us understand that if we as human beings who are broken, sinful creatures, don't somehow get our tongues in control, we can set a blaze of fire to all of our relationships that we have. Now, growing up in the church, if you don't know my background, my story, I grew up in the church. My father's a pastor, and growing up in the church, I have even seen Christians who claim to know and love Jesus go to a brother or sister in Christ and absolutely just put them down. Even Christians to non-Christians, and what has happened? That person or even family has left the faith. Or for the non-believer, the faith that we so grasp onto is suddenly very far away. Because the person who doesn't believe sees Jesus as one who uses his tongue in the same way. Now, the hard news for all of us comes in this passage as well. As James declares this, no human being can tame the tongue. No human being can tame the tongue. Verse 8. Jesus in Luke 6:45 describes the main issue of why no human being, as James says, can tame the tongue. Luke 6:45 says this. Jesus says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. See, there's a problem here, though. We see in Romans chapter 3, the problem is that no one is good or does good. Romans 3:11-12 says, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. You see, unless something transforms the heart, unless something changes the heart, the tongue itself will not be tamed. The tongue itself, which has tremendous power to either curse or bless, it needs to be changed in some way. Let's continue on the passage here in James, verses 9 to 12 now. James writes, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." Now here's the main point that I want to get across here in this passage here. Our tongues have the ability to speak praise or curses. Without God, we cannot tame our tongues. But in Christ, our tongues, like each part of our body, is transformed into a Christ-giving, Christ-exalting, and Christ-glorifying manner. In Christ, the tongue can be tamed to praise others and praise our God who gave us life. Now, when I was a child, one of the only times that I would stick out my tongue, or maybe one of the times I was only allowed to stick out my tongue, was when I went to the family doctor. You know how it goes. You go to the doctor, and they tell you to open your mouth. You open your mouth, stick out your tongue a little bit. Maybe you've had this done recently. If the doctor found something that looked sick, it would most likely mean that I was sick. This comes right alongside our spiritual reality as well, as what comes out of our mouths is typically an accurate reality of what is in our hearts. Matthew 12:34 says this, as Jesus declares, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So today, if we're going to do anything, maybe we should do an examination of ourselves. We must do a self-examination of our tongue and the words that come out of it. If we're a parent, if we're in school, regardless of our age, maybe we should do a self-examination. But possibly even an examination of our culture today from that biblical perspective and what it means to use our tongue for the right reasons. This means looking at our culture today. And of course, maybe one of the best places to start is that place called social media. How many of you have a Facebook account? Social media in general, almost all of us. Now, when I was a child, and I mean probably under 10 or so, social media was not really something that people knew about. In fact, if I went back in time somehow, some way, went back to the early 2000s and asked people what they think about social media, they probably wouldn't know what I was talking about. However, when things like Facebook, Twitter, other social media platforms came around in the mid to late 2000s, social media had a lot of appeal, a lot of appeal. Suddenly, people of any age could connect with friends or even make friends of people across the world. Suddenly, you could put pictures of your kids, maybe your meal. Look at what I made. Show it to people across the world. Social media for the general public was very appealing, and I was one of those people. I joined Facebook in 2008. Suddenly, it became part of my daily life. I needed to go on there. I needed to see what people were saying. I could post daily updates of my life, communicate anything I wanted to, and connect with people who sometimes didn't even know I was connecting with. And then suddenly, as I got older, maybe wiser, and went into my teenage years, young adult years, I found that Facebook and mostly all of social media has become a place, not all of it, but some of it has become a place for other things to happen. Specifically, it became a platform for people to speak degrading and horrible things to people they knew or didn't even know. In the last few years, especially, the amount of people of any age who have taken their own lives has skyrocketed. Yes, because of depression, anxiety, mental health issues and problems, but also because simply people say words they shouldn't say to one another. using their tongue as a platform for putting people down and cursing others. In this passage today in James, we see that the tongue has power, and in many ways, don't you think the world in general would agree? Maybe you grew up hearing one of your parents say, watch your tongue. Does that create memories? Watch your tongue. Some of you are smiling. Even the old phrase, which is first to have been said in a Christian magazine in 1862, that says, and we all know it, what is it, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never what? Hurt me. It's not quite true, is it? Not quite true. In fact, unlike sticks and stones, we all have voices. And like I said at the beginning, we speak for the average person, again, 1/5 of our life. The average person speaks for this amount of time, and that means we have a lot of time to do good or bad. Even Jesus, in his earthly ministry, knew how sinful humans could use their words for both. Matthew 27, 28 to 31, details part of the crucifixion of our Lord, and it says this, they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. And this is what they said, Hail, King of the Jews. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. This graphic description of the crucifixion reminds us that they mocked him and sarcastically called him King of the Jews. They used their tongue to do literally exactly the opposite of praising God, something that James here specifically talks about. Now, words hurt, don't they? Words hurt. I'm going to be the first one to admit that words hurt. As somebody who has grown up in this world and even in the school system, I have been bullied. I have had words hurled at me, some that were meant to be hurtful, some that were not. But words hurt and can continue to hurt even later in life. Words that are written as a message, words that are written as a letter, or even words that are told by somebody to a large crowd can hurt somebody in a deep and personal way, and I think Jesus knows this. And we remember these words that hurt us, right? Even years later, sometimes tens of years later. And sometimes they hurt us and cut us so much that we simply cry. So the encouragement is that if you have been hurt by the words of men and women in your life, remember Jesus, who did so at the most extreme level. Remember the Son of God, who didn't do anything wrong, and yet was hurt by the words of sinners who stood by and mocked him. Even in the history of our world, from the beginning of time to now, the highest of highs and the lowest of lows have all been highly affected by the use of the tongue. Wars, both little and small, have started and continue even to this day because of a group of people or an individual that uses their tongue to curse instead of to bless and praise. There is no great movement in history that has not had a great communicator behind them. Maybe not what they said was great, but how they communicated, their communication in general was effective at times. But words for all of humanity can lead us to some of the worst events ever experience, that any of us can ever experience. And yet, as we see in Jesus, words can also lead us to some of the best things and greatest events we could ever experience. Through Jesus, we see the depths of human depravity, and through the crucifixion, we saw that. But yet, as we also have known and see, in Jesus, we see the depth of how words can bring life, can bring life. We see how Jesus, as he said to Lazarus in John 11, Lazarus, come out, that Jesus can bring life from death. And as Christians and as the church, we now have the opportunity as people who have been freed from that exact thing, from death to life, we can now speak life to people, to each person around us. We now have the opportunity, because of Jesus, to use our tongues in a way that praises and glorifies Jesus. So as we wrap up here, maybe the question that we need to ask ourselves, and especially maybe a personal application for ourselves, is how do we actually control and tame our tongues? How do we, as people who don't just talk a lot, yes, some of us talk more than the other person, but we all talk a bit, but we're also sinners. How do we control our tongues? How do we use our words to, as James writes here, to praise our Lord, but also to strengthen and encourage each other? It seems impossible, because James says here, no human can do this, no human can tame the tongue. And yet, as there is throughout the entire Bible, there is good news. You see, when we receive Jesus' salvation, he doesn't just forgive our sins. We don't just receive eternal life. We aren't just secure in Christ. Receiving Christ means that through his strength and his power, our tongues, our words can be used in ways to glorify him and build others up. In Christ, we can be like King David in Psalm 34:1 and say this, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. And in Psalm 63:3, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. And in Psalm 35:28, my tongue will proclaim your righteousness, your praises all day long. In Christ, we can use our mouth, our tongue to tell good news and not just good things. In Christ, we can and should praise our Lord and Father, as James says, and not curse all human beings made in God's image. And in Jesus, we have that greatest example of the power of the tongue, both the good and the bad, from the crucifixion. My prayer and hope is that may we as the church demonstrate through our words, yes, our words, the good news that can bring life from death and freedom, the freedom that many people, all people, need from bondage. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for how you're at work. Thank you for your work in our sanctification. You're making us into the image of your Son. And that includes our everyday life. It especially includes the words that we say. And so we ask for forgiveness for when we have used our words to do the exact opposite of what James says here in this passage. And we ask that you remember, or that you help us in your power and your strength to use our words to glorify you, to praise and to bless others. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.